join Justin Townsend and the Harvesting Nature crew as they explore the world of cooking wild fish and game while sharing recipes, tips, tricks, and lessons learned from their pursuit of wild food. We sure hope you ate before the show, because you're going to leave hungry. This is the Wild Fish and Game Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Harvesting Nature's Wild Fish and Game Podcast. You got your host here, Justin Townsend, and today we are talking about something very, very cool, very, very awesome that we at Harvesting Nature have been working on now for, gosh, what, about 4 or 5 months?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so super excited about that. We are going to chat about our magazine. And so as you're hearing this, the magazine will have just released. So it's fresh in the interwebs out there. And we're going to offer up the magazine as a subscription. You can get each then magazine of the quarter. Or if you like, for a little bit more, if you don't want to commit to the full year, which I think you should because it's an awesome magazine, then you can decide to just go with one particular issue, which is still awesome too. And so I failed to mention, like, this whole thing, it's going to be kind of electronic is the intent, but there is a print on demand option. So if you really like it, you want to show it off on your coffee table, you can hit the print on demand feature and it'll go there. And then also too, we are working with a magazine, what do you call it? Newsstand? Is that what it's called, Ben?
Yeah.
What's the name of the company? I forget.
Zinio,
yeah. So if you have Zinio and you're subscribed to it already, we're going to be working with them and you can go to it and you can view the magazine there. So it's also that lets it be available on like airplanes and like all kinds of crazy places you can find it in the world. So really expanding there a lot, but we want to have it available to read digital and print on demand. So trying to save paper and not print a bunch of copies and then just have them floating around the world. We'd rather just, if you want to enjoy it electronically, enjoy it electronically. If not, paper, whatever. So with that, I got Jeff on here. Jeff, you want to remind everybody who you are and what you do?
Yeah, Jeff Benda from wildgameandfish.com. Up here in Fargo, North Dakota. And I've been written a few articles and recipes. Started writing for Harvesting Nature. It was January of 2021. So
Yeah,
glad to be on. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. And so Jeff's one of our contributors to this issue, the spring issue, which, will, as I said, is coming out immediately. And then I got Ben on.
Yep. The editor at Harvesting Nature.
Yeah, so Ben has...
Clearly the spokesperson.
Clearly. Allegorically. Ben has, I will say, no offense, Jeff, has herded the cats to include me to wrangle and orchestrate this project of this magazine. So, but it's really cool. And I'll say this, like, it really sticks to our roots of kind of like that education inspiration piece. Like, there's not a lot of tech in there. There's not a lot of crazy things, you know. We've got some advertisements, but it's not overloaded. Like, we're still really very much about content, and you know, we're excited to share it with you. So we'll talk a little bit about it. But first, I kind of want to go a little bit, and Ben and I sort of developed this plan. Gosh, what did you say, Ben? It was sometime last year.
Last year at some point. I don't remember.
Oh, exactly. You know when it was? It was when we were elk hunting.
Yeah, that was fully, we're like, we got to do it. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, because if you guys recall, listeners, like Ben and I elk hunted last year together, archery here in Colorado. It's been about 4 or 5 days up in the mountains chasing bugles. I'll say. And as a result, that conversation, we decided like, hey, let's start chatting through a magazine. Cause I think, it's always been a goal of mine. I will say this, like I always wanted to see a print version of what we had on the website. And then Ben, being a doctor and a genius, is able
word
to
doctor. Genius. No. Word doctor.
Word yeah. doctor. A word doctor, was able, you know, to definitely us have the support we needed, I think, to jump through this. So, but I think it's pretty solid, but, we have how many total pages has it been?
It's going to end up being about 60 pages.
Pretty cool. So 60 pages total. Yeah. We've got about a dozen or so articles. We put a lot of emphasis too on the photography. Like it's not super artsy, like over the top, but like we care. Like we want you to enjoy. We want your eyes to be pleased. So, you know, we'll like the cover, working with, a photographer out of Florida, Mike. Mike's pretty awesome. I got turned on to some of his work through one of our friends. And so he got selected as the cover image. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You're going to have to wait, but it's pretty awesome. I will say if you're a turkey hunter, you'll enjoy it. And then we just kind of go through the table of contents. And I mean, I think, Ben and I each did a couple articles. Colin did an article. Pretty much everybody in here, and kind of the way we've structured it, we've developed this whole writing sort of writing program, I guess you say, Ben?
Yeah, we're just kind of restructuring the way that we did the field staff writer stuff and turning everything kind of into like a learn how to be an outdoor writer thing that we haven't fully officially implemented, but that's kind of what we're doing. So we can use kind of the web content to help people grow as writers, learn how to write in the outdoor field, and then pay them to do so in the magazine, which is cool because most places are kind of one or the other, and it's really difficult. Like with anything, it's hard to get your foot in the door with places, you know. You're probably not, with no publications, going to just start writing for, you know, Outside or Meat Eater or whatever. But as soon as you have a few things on paper, usually how it starts, it just kind of snowballs. So we're kind of like...
Jeff, you went through that process too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you can write, you know, you submit, right? And then one day everyone's like, hey, we'll take it. And then... Then you don't hear from them for 3 months, right? And then you submit, and then one person says yes. So yeah, it takes a long time, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
I think we, you know, it goes back to that too, and like we being part of our mission to kind of educate and inspire is it's always we're not just looking to educate just the hunter, the angler, the forager, the cook, like. We want, if you're part of the community, if you're, you know, following what we're doing and you're really in tune with it and there's something you want to do, like, we want to encourage you to do that. And, like, we have the tools to empower you. Like, we've got a word doctor and a strategic thinker and all these people. Like, you know, everybody's got strong suits. And I think our team has been formed very, very well to help support people in doing different things. So, if you want to grow as a writer too, I will say, reach out. We're always on the search for field staff writers, but now we also have like a really clear way ahead from like publishing web content to like written publications, which opens a lot of doors when people see your name in magazines, which is great.
Yeah. So I think that would be a good transition into kind of like the main mission of the magazine. Do you want to talk about that? Like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to lead off? I'll let you go.
So a lot of what we had talked about, and probably what a lot of people are familiar with, are in the magazine world, in the outdoor magazine world. There's a lot of celebrity hunters, and they're doing big, expensive trips, and that's really cool. It's cool to read about. It's cool to flip through. But for me, it kind of gets old sometimes. There's a lot of hunts in bigger magazines that are just unaffordable, or, you know, you got to save 30 points to do it, and all this kind of stuff that's kind of unobtainable to just your average person. So that was kind of really one of the main missions that we focused on, just real people having real experiences and real food, you know, instead of like, just to kind of, you know, have something else out there. Cause I feel like so many of the magazines I've read are just really similar, and it, you know, it's all the same faces and names, and they're doing the, you know, $20,000 caribou hunt in, you know, interior Alaska, and all these once in a lifetime hunts. And we just wanted to be kind of like a voice that puts emphasis on just like how awesome it is to just be normal people doing normal stuff that you can afford, you know, over the counter tags, or, you know, just stuff you can just buy and go do. You know, we have people fishing in their local rivers and for some fish that, you know, maybe most people don't even target anymore. That's pretty much what John Files' article is about, to just regular stuff, you know, that kind of thing.
Yep. Yeah, he talks about American shad, which I think is really awesome. And we've talked a little bit on the podcast too about the culinary value of shad, and like, it's got a great history.
Yeah, they're cool. Yeah, it's neat.
Yeah, so it's something cool. And I mean, all the stuff we're covering, and also too, like, we're doing quarterly, so we're sticking to the seasons with cool adventures, but it's also stuff that's like Ben said, it's very doable. You know, like, I write about turkey hunting, Osceola turkey hunting in Florida. Like, I picked up, there's a group of tags in Florida for Osceola turkeys in the Oklahoma National Forest that are like giveaway tags. They have so many of these tags every year that they never, like, you go through the initial draw, they go through the secondary draw, and then now they become like the over the counter draw tags. And success rate's not great, but there's turkeys there. And you read my article, you will learn the trials and tribulations that we went through. But it's also like, that's something doable. Like, I just bought the tag, grabbed my shotgun, grabbed a bicycle, jumped in the car, drove up there for 3-4 days, and just like camped out and hung out. Like,
yeah,
anybody could do that.
Yeah, and you know, it's not to say that we're like anti-celebrity hunter or something and harvesting nature or anything like that. It's just like stuff that you can actually go do, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a good point. Everybody finds motivation in different things, and I think these things, the stories and adventures and recipes in this magazine, are really easy to wrap your head around. But it too, it's like, you know, it's for the everyday person. I can tell you, if somebody offers me a caribou hunt in Alaska and I can afford to do it, like, why not? I would do it.
Yeah, that's one of my dream hunts, you know.
But
I don't think I'll ever be lucky enough to be doing that every year with 25 other hunts.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know, Jeff, how do you feel about it? Sort of the approach we're taking with kind of like the everyday outdoors person.
No, I like the concept, because, you know, that's how I hunt, right? So, you know, when I tell people I'll go out to Wyoming and try to get 4 antelope tags, they're confused, but I'm like, oh no, they're all doe, right? So I'll go hunt 2 different units in Wyoming and run around. Same with Montana. I go out there for a mule deer hunt every year, and I pay $160 for 2 doe tags instead of the guys who are going out and paying in Montana for the combo elk deer hunt. And I just can't afford that. My wife would kill me, you know, but
right.
I'm able to hunt North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Wyoming on a regular basis, because I choose to do the hunts that I do, you know? So no, I really like it. Like, Wyoming cow elk hunt, you can get a tag for $300, you know, that's, you know, if you go to the right unit, you can get more than one tag. So, you know, that's how I hunt. I'm a meat hunter. I go for the experiences. If I want something to hang on the wall, I can hunt here in North Dakota, and I have one, which makes my wife happy. She knows I might, you know, appreciate a couple more with antlers, but no, I appreciate what you guys are doing. You know, when it comes to fishing and hunting and just taking what is available to us for reasonable prices and what, you know, what guys and gals can afford, that is realistic. That's great. So I appreciate that there'll be a great resource like the magazine coming out.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah. And I mean, I'm of the same, and you know, we've always been that way. And the other great thing about the magazine is we got to partner with some great companies, to help showcase some of their work, in there. So, really excited about that. We're working, Bear Vaults is one of them that comes to mind. Sawyer Water Filters. We're working with one of my buddy's companies. They do a lot of smoked meats or smoked fish from Alaska, the Wild Fish Cannery. And so all kind of really cool. And then we're partnering with ThermoWorks. They do meat thermometers, ice mule coolers. They do backpack coolers, which until I started really digging in and looking around, like I didn't know they were around. So it's really cool because now it's opened my eyes to like some of these worlds of different things within the outdoor community that we're able to identify companies that have similar morals and values that we do and say like, hey, let's work together. Let's help each other grow. Let's help put good quality products in the outdoor space. And I think so too. Like Ben can attest to this too, because he's seen all the ads. Like, we're not doing it like a gimmicky way. It's like very polished, and it's not, you know, what's the magazine or, you know, the coupon mailer you get in the mailbox like every couple weeks. It's just like chock full of stuff. Like, it's not like that.
Yeah, and we had kind of talked about like just extending the ideology that we're talking about, you know, with like to the companies too, to the ad space, where we're trying, like, if you have a small company that you're having trouble getting ad space somewhere, contact us. Like, we want to try to be like a voice for smaller companies that, same thing as the writing situation. You know, they have a good product, they have a good company, they have good stuff, but they're just too small to get in, you know, Western Hunter or whatever, you know, get an ad deal with Meat Eater or these big companies. So we're really trying to do the same thing with the ad space too, and focus on small businesses. Like, we're a small business. And
yeah, I think good people doing good things in the same space is like, that's what we want to do. We want to keep that going. So let's talk a little bit about some of these articles in here. So like I mentioned earlier, we got about a dozen or more stories or recipes or thesis. We have one main feature, which is a good fly fishing article by Brad Trumbo. And that's a pretty, he does like kind of a prolonged backpacking trip, but you know, it's still something, as I mentioned, very doable. Like, you could grab your backpack and fly rod, and I think take the approach that he had very easily.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. And it's for high desert rainbows, which I feel like is kind of unusual. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, you don't really think about those two things together, but definitely a pretty neat trip. And they packed in belly boats and stuff, which I've done before. Which has been a nightmare when I've done it before. But
and then we've
that's a different
we've
story.
Got an upland story in here. Have you guys ever heard of Montezuma quail? I haven't. That was a first.
Yeah, I hadn't either.
So I'll say
they're beautiful.
Yeah, though. Beautiful birds. I won't go into detail. Look at the pictures, read the article, but it's a really cool bird. So that, and then we get into an upland game recipe, which is Jeff's. Jeff's, you want to talk a little about your creamy Creole pheasant?
Yeah, I was begging because I had only gotten, I had to beg for pheasant this year. So I'm lucky that I have friends who are much better shots with much better, you know, and have dogs. But, yeah, I was able to come up, with some pheasants and came up with, you know, I've seen versions with chicken and farfalle pasta and just decided to, my wife and daughter love eating it and, you know, especially anything with noodles. So I didn't go over the top with the spice. It, you know, you can feel a little bit of the, you got a little bit of the heat, but something that my daughter enjoyed. Yeah.
I like those. I like those creamy, like the creamy, spicy kind of Creole Cajun flavored pastas.
Yeah.
It reminds me. So I went to, for those that don't know, I went to the University of New Orleans, and they had like in their, well, gosh, I'm trying to think of the regular, I call it, we call it a galley because I'm in the military now, but like the chow, gosh, the place you go to eat, whatever, the cafeteria, there you go. So the big cafeteria, right? They did like pizza and sushi, there's salad bar and like burgers and all the other stuff. And then they had one that was always like in New Orleans called like hot plates. And you get like hot plate. And I remember they always had, they would do like a creamy Creole, like chicken pasta with the same pasta that you use there. And so it's very like, it's very comfort food for me because, you know, picture 19-year-old Justin like eating his $3 plate of pasta Creole chicken.
Yeah, my favorite one is that it's out of a Cajun cookbook that I have here on my shelf somewhere, but it's, I made it for years, but it takes, this is a quick recipe, right? This is something you can make on a weeknight, but my favorite, it's a, I don't know if I'd pronounce it right, but it's chicken marmoise on pasta, but it's, I'm trying to think of what his name is, but a bigger guy with the beard and a white hat.
Paul Perdone.
Yes, it's in Paul Perdone's cookbook.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I've been making that when my sister ran off to the East Coast and started working restaurants, and she came back with this with his cookbook. So when she came back for the first time, and I was still in high school, and she's like, "We have to make this dish together," and that was my first. Like really spending like 3 hours in the kitchen making a dish and putting it together. And that is kind of the dish that, that kind of vaulted me towards the, hey, this is kind of what I, this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I want to spend time in the kitchen and,
that's awesome.
Yeah. I love it, but it's an hour's. It's a very long process, so
it is. It is.
Yeah, yeah.
But the end result, phenomenal. But this recipe you did here is just about 30 minutes. That one's a lot spicier. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. This one's more tame. This one's family friendly.
Yep. Yeah. And really, too, I like your note. You could do a turkey, partridge, grouse, pheasant, like kind of whatever game bird you got.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, which is good because this is a spring issue and people know what happens in the spring.
I don't get a turkey.
Yeah.
I give a donation to the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Yeah.
I'm super stoked. So I went this weekend and I presented. So the Denver group within Colorado Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, they put on it's a three-part series called Hunters for Sustainability. And it's essentially like taking new hunters and we did last weekend was our first course. It was like classroom. We talked about like, you know, pack dumps. I talked about butchering, processing, field care, cooking, all these other things. Colorado Parks and Wildlife was there. They got into regulations and kind of like, you know, the basic stuff hunters need to know. So it's really like geared towards that. But my friend Eric Jones, who ran the course, I'm super excited because he and I talked turkey. We talked turkey plans this spring. So being in Colorado, like I've scouted a lot of places and I've got some ideas, but I'm excited to go out with him and have kind of a hunting buddy here locally to go out. So super pumped. Super pumped that hopefully my turkey season did not end up like last year. So I guess that's a good segue, right, Ben? I'll talk a little bit about mine. Good segue. So, Ghost of the Swamp, right? Osceola turkey hunting down in Florida. And I mentioned how I drew the tags earlier, but we took like a very different strategy with it. In a lot of the area there where we're hunting at, there's a few main arteries of the road, but there's a lot of like logging roads. So we're like, hey, let's take, and I say we, so is my friend Craig, and he's been on the podcast. We actually talked about this on a podcast episode, and we've done some films.
What is what's the name of this guide thing? Sorry.
Goliath Charters down in Key West. So we did a Florida Keys backcountry film with him too over on our YouTube channel. You can see that as well. That's a really, really, really fun one. I like the soundtrack. But so we went, Craig's a big turkey hunter. Craig's a big hunter, period. Ben's hunted with Craig.
Yep, in Colorado before Justin came out.
And so we go out. But our strategy is for turkey, we're going to take mountain bikes. And we're just going to cruise these logging roads and, like, you know, go through cluck, listen for responses, move on to the next thing. So we kind of, like, work this whole area really well. And then we kind of get it dialed in, and it takes us the last few days. And I learned a lot about turkey hunting in that short time span. But it also – I got the bug. So, like, I was ready. So I'm ready this year. Ready to do some turkey hunting, but I won't spoil the end. And I think it's a great story to kind of read through and understand, like, you could certainly copy that hunt pretty easily. It's pretty great. If you emailed me, I would probably give you the pen to where we were on Onyx, because I'm probably not going to go back to that spot. And if the turkey did,
probably, yeah,
not definitely, but probably. yeah.
You have to be nice.
Yep. So, yeah, no, really cool story. Learned a lot. And then also I've got a recipe I just finished. So, Jeff, have you heard chicken Kiev?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I did a wild turkey version of it.
Nice.
Yep. So pretty excited. So for those who don't know, you take like a compound butter – it's frozen. You pound out I used two turkey breasts, took the tenderloin out of it, the quote unquote tenderloin, the tender of the breast, and then used the regular part, cut it in half, pounded it flat, and then wrapped it around the butter. You chill it, and then you pull it out, roll it in flour, egg wash, breadcrumbs, fry it, pull it out, put it in the oven, bake it. And so it's all sealed in there. And then you just cook it to temp, and then you pull it out and you cut it, and it's just like, oh, the butter runs out of it, and you're just like, oh, it was so good. I'm not a big turkey fan, and that turned me back onto turkey. So it was funny because my wife, she's like, I thought you didn't like turkey. And I was like, yeah, but, you know, I guess I found something I like. So we've got that in there. That's a really cool recipe. Also very ironic given the current times that we're in, but we'll take.
Yeah, and I can contest that he planned that before all the happenings, and he was like, I don't know what to do. I'm doing this turkey Kiev.
And I was like, you know what?
But I got the article, you know, planned already.
We're doing it.
Do it anyway.
The two also in that I used because I had some bones and trimmings left over from that, and I put them in the crock pot, and I used our big game seasoning on the turkey in the crock pot, just slow cooked with some stock in there, and I did like pulled turkey and like barbecue sandwiches. But that came out really well with the big game seasoning, even though we didn't test it on turkey and it wasn't really geared towards turkey, and we're planning on a turkey spice. But until then, if you have turkey, you can use the big game blend. That's a good one. So, a shameless plug for spices. Ben, do you want to talk a little bit about your stuff?
Yeah, we'll go from a really warm place in Florida to a really cold place in the Great Lakes. So I live in Oregon now, but I lived in upstate New York for a while, and we did a lot of. I know it's a hot button issue to West Coast steelhead guys that these are steelhead. You know, I see Only West Coast guys, whenever they refer to them as steelhead, they have it in quotes, or they'll say they'll just say rainbows just to trigger all the Great Lakes. But for the whatever you want to call them is fine. They're migratory rainbows out of the Great Lakes system, so whatever that falls into for you. But yeah, it did a
Wait,
lot
wait, wait,
of steelheading up
wait, wait.
there.
You gotta
What?
tell the title. You gotta get.
Oh yeah, so I don't. I'll just tell the story of the guy. There's a lot of weird people up there if you're from there. I'm sorry. Well, you probably know better than I do, but yeah. And there's a lot of really, really intense fishermen. And the one time there was this guy fishing kind of near us, and you know, by the end, we were there like all weekend. I think we saw him there every day, you know, like morning, noon, and night. And he was a young guy, he was maybe in his 20s, mid-20s tops. And he was just a psychotic steelheader. So he told us, we were talking about the cold. It's always cold up there. You know, we've had days where it's like, you know, in the negatives, and you're like, why am I doing this? And all that kind of stuff. But so he figured out he kept getting frostbite. And I guess the previous time in his feet, it was bad enough that his doctor was like, look, you're going to start losing toes like real soon. So he, you know, super excitedly told us this. So he's like, yeah, so I figured out you can stay out longer if you take Viagra because it opens up your blood vessels. And ever since I've been taking Viagra when I'm fishing, I don't get frostbite anymore. I'm like, oh, cool, man. But yeah, that's kind of the intro to the article, and it's just kind of some more conventional tips and tricks about catching those fish all year. So spring is kind of a cool time where, you know, early spring can still be really, really cold up there, and so it still can be like pretty slow fishing, but the fish after they spawn, they start going back to the lake and they get really aggressive again. So that's really fun. But yeah, it's just cool to be able to fish up there year round. And so I have a little kind of like tactics article for that, if that's your thing, if you live in anywhere in that region. I talked to some guides. I think I just did two on Lake Ontario and one on Lake Erie. Yeah, to get like a little more breath in there. And the one guy did some stuff over the border in some of the Canadian tribes, but yeah, so that was I think about that dude whenever I'm fishing and it's cold out. Lot of characters up there, but that, you know, it's the same. They just love fishing. They just love it. Yeah, then what else did I put together? Like a
Spring Bear
simple
Basics.
spring bear basics. You know, just I feel like it's getting every year it's getting more and more popular. I have to look at the article, but I think there's seven or eight Western states that you can do it in now. Yeah, in Oregon, so me and Colin both drew again, which is awesome. Last year there was a huge, huge influx of it used to be an over start I'll move backwards a little bit. It used to be an over-the-counter tag, and there was always like a bunch of extras. And then in the last couple of years, it's gotten so popular that it went, you know, to full draw. And last year, I think there was like 2,000 people who didn't get tags. But
I got one.
Colin and I drew
Woo!
last year. Yeah, you got yeah. Last year we went 5 for 5, and there were definitely some local Oregonians who would not have been happy to hear that four of us were not. I wasn't even technically a resident at the time either.
Yeah.
On paper, you
And
know,
we get
so
Oregon's
technically,
one of those states that gives active duty, you get resident rates. So people definitely wouldn't have been
so at
happy
least
about that.
So I mean, we drew 5 for 5, and four of us were non-residents last year, but whatever. But yeah, Colin and I drew again this year, so that's gonna be cool. I feel like we really cut our teeth last year on it. It was the first time I had done it. So I feel like we got a much better idea where to go and what to do, and so that's gonna be fun.
Yeah.
I think that's all I wrote.
I think that's all you got in there. Colin's got a great piece on wildlife crossings, and I want to say Adam Berkelman's. We've got a piece in there about wild edibles. So edible greens, being it's springtime, everything's starting to come back up after the snow's gone. So we definitely have leaned forward a lot in the foraging world. Even myself. Oh, I got to tell you guys this story. So you guys ever heard of cottonwood oil? So you take
Yes, because you showed it to me earlier.
So right now, at this time in Colorado, the cottonwood trees are in bud. And so inside that bud is a resin that you can use that is antibacterial and anti-inflammatory and all this other stuff. So you take that and you basically like do a double – you can do it two ways. You can just soak it in oil for like 6 weeks and the resin comes out into the oil. Or you can do it on like a low burner with a double broil and have it in the oil, which is what I did. And then add some beeswax to it and it makes a balm. And it's called – traditionally it's called the Balm of Galilee. But you put that on like dry skin, super dry skin, which is great because right now Colorado it's super dry. And so like everybody in my family, like our hands are cracking. We're just like – constantly using lotion and moisturizers and all this stuff. So this balm has helped. My son's cheeks were like super red for like 2 weeks and I finally got this stuff made. And then we started putting it on there and within 2 days his cheeks were like back to normal. So not like not super promoting it, but it was cool. But it's all like we have an old canal drainage system that runs through our neighborhood that's part of this big long canal that spans two rivers that they used to farm used to irrigate the farms in eastern Denver back a long time ago. And so all along it are all these cottonwood trees. And it's a mixture of like, two types of cottonwoods. So the eastern cottonwoods and then a type that's more located in the southwest. But went through and like picked some of the buds off, did all, you know, the whole process. And now we've got a bunch of them. Yesterday we went out for a run as a family because it was warmer and the day before and did the same. So got some more, and that way we'll store the oil and use it throughout the year. But I say that all to come back around and say that Adam Berkelman's put together a great wild edibles piece on kind of like a how-to harvest of what to look for, like how to treat it, and then he does a great recipe, really beautiful picture and great things to see there. So, yeah. Super awesome work as always by Adam, but definitely there's something for everybody in this magazine for sure. We've got some cool photo essays. We've got the feature we talked about, fishing stuff, hunting stuff, literally everything that you can think of in here.
Bennett? Yep, all focused around spring.
Yep.
Spring. And that's going to be a column that we do, the wild edibles yep. thing. So every issue we're going to have some seasonal wild edibles with like a, you know, kind of like how to harvest them and how to cook them and, you know, with the recipe at the end. So,
yeah. And it's something pretty, the one he does is very common. Everybody's got it. You probably have it growing in your yard. And yeah, I think that's it. Did I miss anything, Ben?
Not really. We kind of touched on a little bit of everything. We didn't go through everything.
Yeah, I don't want to go deep down because I still want all you listeners to go here. Buy it. Go buy it. Read it.
Yeah, exactly.
Help us. This will help us make another one for sure, which we'll do in the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we cannot and will not do this without your guys' support. So, like, you guys want to see more of this, let us know. Vote with your dollar. We'll keep pumping them out. So we have four planned for this year. Summer, we'll release in the summer, fall, and then winter. And so each one will focus on those seasonal aspects with seasonal recipes, hunting, fishing, foraging, all that stuff in there. So very focused. And so, Jeff, do you have any last thoughts?
No, I'm just excited for after this conversation that I have ideas now for late season pheasant hunting when it gets so cold here in North Dakota that I'll have to try the Viagra to enhance my athletic performance and keep me warm. And then when I have my dried, cracked hands from being out in the cold, I will have my cottonwood oil balm. So
yeah,
I'm ready to go. I've learned all kinds of stuff from this conversation.
Yeah. It's good. It's good.
Yep. I can't wait to see the surprises in the magazine. So
exactly.
Yeah.
No, super exciting. So Ben, you got any last thoughts?
Nope, that's pretty much it, I think. Go out and buy it.
So super excited. Thanks everybody for listening. Make sure that you're staying up to date on social media. Oh, just tell the guys where they can where they can connect with either of you if they have questions or comments. Social media, probably.
Yeah, for me it's go ahead, Ben.
You go first.
No. All right. So Jeff Benda. Jeff Benda. My Instagram is at Wild Game and Fish. Website is wildgameandfish.com.
I'm just an outdoorsman, writer, educator on everywhere. So you can find me on there on the Harvest of Nature website.
Yep.
Or email is editor@harvestingnature.com.
Yeah, perfect. Or if you send it to just general what's cooking at harvestingnature.com, we'll make sure it gets to Ben or myself. We're pretty good about responding to emails very quickly. Make sure you're staying up to date on all the social
media.
What?
Sorry. It's hard to find like the right time to interject in like an online, you know what I mean? I'm like trying to get your attention. Business inquiries, advertisement inquiries.
Oh, yeah.
Who does that
go to? So that goes to Casey or myself. So you can hit up business@harvestingnature.com, or you can use the regular what's cooking@harvestingnature.com. So we will get those. If you have a business inquiry, if you want to get your company involved, or if you have Ben toss out his email, if you want to get involved in the writing program, that's a good avenue. I was just talking to somebody the other day. I posted about the wild pig camp in a hunting group on Facebook, and somebody was like, oh, you guys have a writing program? They're like, I used to write for the Texas Wild Hog Hunting Club or something like that. And I was like, that's awesome. Like, she's like, I really have the itch to write again. And I was like, cool, come on, like, reach out. So always fun stuff. But, yeah, so those points. And then whatever podcast platform you listen to, please punch that 5-star button. Leave us a review on the podcast. And tell us what we're doing wrong, or tell us what we're doing right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.